Let's turn now to the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, which we have already read together. And let us consider now, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, part of verse 18. First Samuel 16, and at verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. These words just now, and the Lord is with him. And clearly that was something very important in connection with whoever it would be that would be about the king in however junior a position. But the thing was that the Lord had left Saul. The Lord had been with him as the one who was chosen for that office, the office as king over Israel. And to that extent, the Lord was with him. But David has already been chosen to be king in the place of Saul. A period of time must elapse before David will actually sit on the throne. But David, we might say, is being introduced into a more public position, just as someone who can play well on a harp and the music would help Saul when an evil spirit would come upon him. And I'm not going to try and explain what that exactly was, but you see, it's related to this, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. And the Spirit of the Lord, it can be observed, is upon this young man who is to be his successor, who has already quietly away in Bethlehem been set apart to the office of king, and he will wait patiently until the time comes round when he will be able to exercise that kingship. But what I want to look at is this, that the Lord was with David. And what does it mean? That's the first thing. What does it mean to say that the Lord was with David? What does it mean to say that the Lord is with any particular individual in this world? And it should be clear in various ways that there are those who have the Lord with them, whatever they are doing. In some cases it is more obvious, in other cases it is something more hidden. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, how can this be recognized? Excuse me. How can it be seen that somebody is in the same position as David, that they have the Lord with them, that the Lord has taken them to himself in the sense that they are among his children, that they are following him, that they are serving him, that the Spirit of the Lord is within them? Now, how can that be recognized? How can they recognize it themselves? Just these two things then, mainly, particularly. What does it mean that God was with David, first of all? And then secondly, how can that be recognized? First, the Lord is with him, this informer said, this one in Saul's court, And when the servants advise Saul to look out someone who would help him in this difficult position he is in, because the Lord has forsaken him, then this harp player would play and he would be delivered from his melancholy, or however it might be described. And another of the servants said that he had seen one of Jesse's sons in Bethlehem. He was skillful in playing. He had shown himself to be a mighty, valiant man. No doubt he had heard, a man. No doubt he had heard of David rescuing his lamb from a lion and then from a bear. He was prudent. He was physically attractive. And to cap it all, the Lord was with him. And that's what mattered. That was the great matter. Or it should have been the great matter. And it should be the great matter with us. And that's what is said about Joseph also. The Lord was with him. And he was a prosperous man. Even when he was bought as Potiphar's slave, he instantly distinguished himself as somebody competent, very competent. He was prosperous. He got on well. Potiphar had great respect for him. And then, of course, the catastrophe came when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. It didn't work, so she accused him falsely. And Joseph was thrown into prison. And again, we are told that the Lord was with him. He was a prosperous man. He was given a degree of responsibility in the prison. The Lord was with him. The Lord was preparing. The Lord was blessing him. And it was showing itself, yes, in an outward way. Now, in the Old Testament, very often, when the Lord would show his favor for somebody, he showed that in terms of their getting on well in the world, of them being prosperous, as was true of Joseph, and was beginning to be true of David. Now, whatever blessings we have, outwardly even, we should acknowledge that it's God who has made that possible. It's God that has brought it about. Of course, the great thing is that was undoubtedly true of Joseph, and it was undoubtedly true of David, that they had the Lord's blessing spiritually. The Lord was with them. And that was an inward thing. And you have that in Psalm 1, when it is said that the blessed man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, applying that to Joseph, he was a man planted by the rivers of water, as if he was a tree not planted in a desert where he would wither. He sent away to Egypt. Oh, will he not wither there, away from his father's house, away from his father's protection? No, he'll not wither. His leaf will not wither. He will continue to bring forth fruit. What's happening? Oh, it's this stream of water. The idea seems to be in not a natural river, but a channel for irrigation. Such streams. A little channel being brought to this particular tree, and another little channel brought to that particular tree. so that they get watered, even when conditions are dry, like Joseph in the prison. But still, he had the Holy Spirit in his heart. He had grace in his soul. He wasn't left to wither. God did not forsake him. The Lord was with him. And if that was shown in outward ways, in his success in the prison, and his success in when a slave in Potiphar's household, it was, of course, a preparation for the prominence he would have as prime minister in Egypt, to use that term. The Lord being with him, the Lord blessing him, the Lord distinguishing him, even in outward blessing. But that was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's less of that outward demonstration of God's favor. You're not going to expect that the godly person is going to have better crops, necessarily, though there might be reasons for that, than his ungodly neighbor. Perhaps it's the ungodly neighbor that will have better crops. Perhaps the ungodly neighbor has better agricultural skills. Who knows? The Lord is not so much, if at all, showing his blessing in these ways. The Lord still shows his blessing spiritually. And whoever you might think of as a godly man or woman, you're perfectly safe in saying this. The Lord is with that person. Whatever troubles and trials that person may have, whatever difficulties that he or she might have that others do not seem to have, and certainly that was true as far as Asaph was concerned in seeing the wicked prosper, well, it wasn't something that always happened, even in Old Testament times, that it was the godly that got on. But you see, there was sufficient of it to make people say, the Lord is with that person. Oh, now, what you have to look for is godliness. The fruit, you see. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in the person's soul, the meekness, the faith, the zeal, the patience, whatever it is, love to God, love to his ways, these fruits. Why these fruits? Because of the rivers of water, the channels through which spiritual grace comes, because the Holy Spirit is working in these souls. The Lord is with them, you see. And it is to be seen in these terms. The Holy Spirit's grace, the water, you see. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, the Savior was saying. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit, we are told. So, as far as we are concerned just now, these rivers of water are the Holy Spirit coming to work in a soul, in David's soul, in Joseph's soul, in Peter's soul, in Paul's soul, in Timothy's soul, in Mary Magdalene's soul. And I'll not name any more names, but whoever it is you might think of, here today or of a previous generation, the Lord was with them, you see. The Lord is with them. Why? Oh, because he has had mercy on them. He has drawn them to himself. Now, the ungodly are not so, as David goes on in Psalm 1. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now that's solemn. There's these people who are ungodly still, who have never had the Holy Spirit work in their souls, and they have never asked for that working. They have never sought the Lord. So the Lord is not with them. and they will come into judgment. They will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How will it be then? They will not stand. They cannot stand. The quietest, gentlest words from the Savior: depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And they cannot stand. They must go. Oh, what about yourself? How will that be? How will it be with you when you come into the eternal world? Will you stand before God? Will you be sent away to a lost eternity? It could never be said if for such people in this world the Lord is with. Oh, how will it be then? How can it be when the time comes for them to die, to be sent into eternity? Can they stand? Can they stand and ask for admittance to heaven? No. They will be sent away like the chaff is blown away when the wheat remains, or whatever grain crop it might be. When the flail is taken to the harvest, and the wind, it blows the chaff away and you're left with the wheat. And that's how it will be. A sinner shall pass into eternity. The wind passes over them and their souls are swept away. They cannot stand. They cannot cry, oh, wait a minute, give me another moment so I might seek salvation. Now, there have been those encouraged to seek salvation and they say, it is too late. It is too late. Well, whatever one might say to that, one can describe it in this way. They are hard. They will not seek. Unbelief is killing them. Unbelief is killing their souls. How is it with you? What's your own reaction to the Word of God? What's your own reaction to the good news that Christ Jesus gave it to the world to save sinners? Yes. What's your reaction? Do you say, maybe mine? Maybe mine now. May I not waste another moment? Ah, well, if we can hear that, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. The Lord is working. Yes. Or you have it again in Psalm 73 where we were singing, they that are far from thee shall perish. The sinner far from God, the Lord is not with him. The sinner is far away in the lands of unbelief, in the lands of ungodliness, whatever is true outward. They're far away. What hope is there for you? Still far away from God after all these years. What hope is there? Well, the hope must be in Christ. And think of this, however far away you are from God, Christ is standing, as it were, still between you and a lost eternity. What do I mean by that? I mean this, that Christ is calling you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, Christ is seeing you, rushing on to a lost eternity. He asks for a word in your ear, if one can put it like that. He would stop you. He would stop you on this Sabbath evening at this service. That's what he's doing. We're to believe that he is present among us. And he's got something to say to you. Though you would be hurtling on to a lost eternity, stop a minute, he says. Stop. Listen. I have a message for you, he is saying. Sent by an ambassador. He gets the ambassador to speak, we might say. So you're to listen. You're to listen to Christ. He's saying to you, for you are not yet in a lost eternity, although your sins without doubt deserve that. Stop then, before you are launched into the eternal fire. Stop, sinner, stop. Christ is calling you. Christ is the one who died. Christ is the one who gave himself a ransom for sinners like you. He's saying, stop. Stop in your sins. Stop running after your sins. Stop, though you would be impelled on by the devil. Stop, sinner, stop. And come to me, and I will give you rest. And you will stand on the day of judgment. You will stand when you pass into the eternal world. All will be well. Yes. He is speaking to you. And he is speaking to you on this basis. And it's the basis on which the Lord is with his some people here and many more throughout the world. As Paul put it to the Romans, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. He's saying, stop, sinner. Your sins are bringing you down to a lost eternity. Oh, think of me. Think of me who took the sins of many. Think of me who made reconciliation. Think of me as the one who took away all that was making sinners enemies, who is keeping them apart from God, keeping them out of heaven. Think of me. Think of what I have done. Think of this. I died. I died for the wages of sin for me was death. It was death. I bore the punishment so that sinners like you might not die. If only you will believe on me. If only you will put your trust in me. And if you will, at this very moment, if you will look away from yourself and trust in Christ, then what will be said? What will be said in heaven? The Lord is with him. The Lord is with her. And you see Paul speaking to the Colossians also, as those who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Yes? Reconciliation to the death of Christ. To do what? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Not to be swept away by the wind of divine wrath as the chaff on the threshing floor, but rather to be brought to heaven, safe, surely, certain. Yes, as Joseph, as David, the Lord was with, and the Lord did not give them up. The Lord did not send them away. The Lord, he was with them. Yes, all will be well at last. And they will have the Lord's care in this world. There was Hannah singing her song. He will keep the saints' feet, she said. He will keep the saints' feet. He will keep Joseph's feet. Oh, we might notice particular sins and what Joseph said. Well, by and large, for he wasn't in heaven, he wasn't perfect, but the Lord was keeping him from wandering, keeping his feet, that's what's mentioned. Many another thing could be mentioned, but the Lord was keeping him from wandering out of the way. That's it. He will keep the saints' feet. Yes. Always, or just for a while? Oh no, it's always. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Joseph, the Lord is with him. Will the Lord cast him off? Never, never. David, the Lord is with him. Will the Lord cast him off? Though he succumbs to temptation and the various circumstances he finds himself in high place in the land, and no doubt there are particular temptations to people who get on, but you see, if they have Christ, he will never leave. If the Lord is with them, he will never cast them away. If the Lord is with them, they will never go down to a lost eternity. You see, that's the great danger we're in. Sinner, what about death? What about the other side of death? How will you fare when your soul is separated from your body? How will it be with you? Will it be well with you then? Yes, if the Lord is with you now. No, unless you change, if he is not. Unless you come to the one who is so earnestly calling. Come then, sinner, before it is too late, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, and you're to be therefore. If the Lord is with you, you're to be casting all your care upon, for he careth for you. Yes. Oh, you say, I do not feel the Lord to be near. Is that it? Well, come. But cast all your care upon him, whether you feel him near or not. He's near you in the Word. That's it. Whatever your feelings might be, the Lord is near you in his Word. Cast all your care upon him. But then there's this, the second point. How is it to be recognized that the Lord is with somebody? Well, you might feel that in some degree the question has been answered already. But let us focus on it more particularly and identify that person as one described in Psalm 1, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. The Lord is with that man. You see, that's how it's introduced. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Where does he go, spiritually speaking? What directs his footsteps? Is it the uncounsel of ungodly people? Is it the word of God? How do you want to live in this world? Are you saying, Lord, teach? Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine. Open it up to me. Open my eyes so that I might see wondrous things out of thy law, so that I might go in the right direction, so that I might be kept from evil. Ah, well, what's putting that in your heart? Are we not to say the Lord is with you? If it's your desire to walk according to godly counsel, not the counsel of the ungodly, not to stand in the way of sinners, you might have to stop and speak to sinners, so to speak. You're not going to go on with them. Though, of course, everyone's a sinner, that's true, but that's not what's meant. These are things that are characteristic of those of whom it is said that the Lord is with them, say David or Joseph. That's what's characteristic of them, not their sin. Though sin is still there, and sin may become strong and obvious. Though we're not to say too much about what is external, as when Samuel was making choice of someone to be the next king of Israel. And he thought that Jesse's oldest son would be just exactly the kind of man that would be very, very suitable. And the Lord warned him, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Yes. The Lord is looking on our heart. The Lord is examining how we think, how we act, what our motives are, that sort of thing. The Lord sees when one of his own children is standing with a sinner. He understands if there is some need for that, but that's not the general company he would keep, according to his circumstances, of course. And he's not going to sit down in the seat of the scorner. Those who would mock God, those who would laugh at true religion, those that would despise any evidence of godliness, who would deny the existence of religion and God and so on, that's not the company that they will choose who have the Lord with them. But you see, as Psalm 1 goes on, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day or night. There's something of that. Something of it. The Lord speaks to them at times through his word. Gives them to see something of the wonder of salvation. That Christ is a suitable Savior for sinners like them. Now there's all sorts of degrees in everything. And there's all sorts of degrees of consciousness of having been brought from darkness into light. Some might recognize it very quickly. Others might question it for many a long day. Now no doubt that is not good. But you see, what a blessing this is. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with her. Whether they are particularly conscious of it or not. Yes. But the Lord's people are to be seeking that their salvation would be made sure, that the Lord would show them that he is with them, and that he will never forsake them. You see, we are told about Hezekiah, the godly king, and it is summed up in these words, that he wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. What was he going to do as king of Judah? Was he going to examine all the religions of the various nations around him and say, that's a good point, that's not so good, and measure them all against the true religion, and measure the true religion against them? Oh no. The Lord is with him, and he is with the Lord. He is taking it as true, as infallibly true, what the Lord has said. And there's this about him. In every work he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. He did it with all his heart. He wasn't lethargic. He wasn't saying it will do as well tomorrow as today to seek the Lord. Yes, I know I need to be converted. I need this and I need that. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need to be kept out of hell. And I need to do something about it. but tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Next year we'll do every bit as well. And if I could leave it till the last day of my life, I would. He did it with all his heart. His seeking of the Lord, his seeking of the Lord's blessing, his seeking of the Lord's presence. Oh, did you go to ask for the Lord's presence with you and with the congregation when, before you came out to church? Were you asking that the Lord would be among us? That the Lord would draw near to us and bless the word? Was your heart in it? Well, Hezekiah's heart was in such things. He did it with all his heart, and he prospered. Now you may remember what was said about Joseph. The Lord was with him, and he was a prosperous man. Hezekiah was a prosperous man. And what we can recognize from that is that the Lord was with him. He had his difficulties. His country was invaded. Still, the Lord delivered. The Lord was with him. He prospered. When he put his trust in the Lord, oh, that's what we need. In every set of circumstances we are in, that we would be putting our trust in the Lord, that we would seek him, that we would put our trust in him. Yes. Oh, the Lord hears prayer. Now what we're trying to do is to recognize who they are. Here that the Lord is with. And there was David again. Was the Lord with him when he went down to the land of the Philistines? When he despaired of being safe in Israel? Well, one must sympathize with David. Things were very difficult. And no doubt after a particular deliverance, there was something of a reaction. And unbelief got a hold of him. And he went away. Oh, poor David. Yes, and many a poor believer since then. But you see, he goes from one difficulty into a bigger difficulty. And what does he do? Well, he describes it himself. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him out of all his distress. Well, we know that those who are ungodly may cry to the Lord for deliverance in distress. When they are near to being drowned, for instance, or whatever. They know enough to do that. But oh, it's sad when they are delivered and when they get back on dry ground and they forget the Lord. Ah, how different the psalmist in Psalm 116 when he says, I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I'm not going to stop now that I've been heard, now that I've had that deliverance, now that all seems well. Perhaps things will go smoothly with me. He's not going to say, I don't need to pray. I don't need to seek the Lord. He says, instead, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. What conclusion can we come to then? The Lord is with him. The Lord is keeping grace alive in his soul. Perhaps the time of deliverance may be a dangerous time, a time of temptation to go easy in prayer. To think about other things rather than the Lord. Ah, well. Not so this psalmist. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And you see, what is Asaph saying at the end of the psalm? It is good for me that I draw near to God. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Who is the one? How can we recognize the one who has the Lord with him? He has put his trust in the Lord. He has drawn near to God. God has drawn near to him, and he is drawing near to God. That's the person. Going on, drawing near to the Lord as one who is able to go on, drawing near to him as the Lord who will stay with. Now you see, there's faith in that. Receiving the word of God and resting upon it. That's faith. Receiving the word of God with application to oneself and trusting oneself to the God who has revealed himself in Christ, trusting in him for time and for eternity. Well, what we have is a great and a wondrous and a glorious God. May we not be careless. We've heard about. He has given another call to us this evening. Christ the mediator has said, come unto me. He said it to you. He said it to us all. Yes. And what have we been described? Well, you can sum it up in this. Yes, in terms of the text, the Lord was with him. But what is that? It's a great salvation. The wonderful salvation that the Lord would come to and deal with, working in the soul by the Spirit, reconciling that sinner to God, putting away all his or her sins. Yes, there it is. And that's what's set before you to receive. That's what's set before you so that you might receive it for yourself. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect? Oh, think of that question. Take that question home with you. Pray over that question. Ask the Lord to be reconciled to you for the sake of Christ, who died for sinners. Yes. And who is offering this great, glorious, wonderful salvation to you this evening. When he is saying to you, come unto me. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, bless us. May we be impressed with the greatness of salvation. When we had a little of that this evening, even in the words of Scripture. But oh, grant that we would be asking ourselves how we shall escape if we neglect so great salvation. Oh, do us good in thy great, great mercy. Turn us from our own ways that we might serve thee. Grant thy blessing. Deliver us from all evil. Pardon our sin. Make Christ precious to us. O Lord, do wonderful things thyself in thy great, great mercy. Make Christ great in our eyes and enable us to lay hold of, to take him for ourselves. Have mercy, Lord, do us good. Deliver us from every evil way. Make the Savior altogether precious. Grant that we would live in thy sight. Do not leave us to ourselves. May we not forget what we were considering this eve, but may thy word be with power, and be thou exalted in the earth. Lord, bless us, keep us, care for us, do us good. Lead us and guide us. Grant to pardon our sins and deliver us from every evil way. Do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.